continue our study in Psalm 146. In our previous study, we looked at the first four verses. Today, we'll be looking at verses 5 through 10. Last time, the psalmist was talking about why we ought to praise the Lord. The psalmist shows us why the person who knows the Lord has many reasons to praise his name. You see, those who place their trust in themselves or others basically have no reliable reason for rejoicing. But all those whose faith is in God have more to praise him for than they can even comprehend. That is the message of verse 5 of Psalm 146. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. In verse 6, we look at the greatness of God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever. We can always praise the Lord for his greatness, which is revealed in two special ways. First of all, he is the God of creation. He is the God who said, "Let there be." We see the greatness of God in Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from his heat. The heavens, brothers and sisters, declare the glory of God. Why should we praise the Lord? Because of the greatness of his power. The heavens themselves declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day, they utter speech. Our God is a great God. Why should we praise him? For we know of his greatness. The scripture reveals this God who is great. Isaiah 40. Verse 12 tells us, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, measured heaven with a span, and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Isaiah 40 speaks of the greatness of God. Why should we praise him? He's measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, measured heaven with a span, calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counsel has taught him? With whom did he take counsel, and who instructed him and taught him in the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket, and are counted as the small dust on the scales. Look, he lifts up the isles as a very little thing. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare to him? Why should we praise the Lord? For he is great. We see the greatness of his power. His power is awesome, and his power is limitless. It is this power that he extends to us in salvation and in our support day by day. When you are overwhelmed, this is your God. This is the one that you now call Father, that invites you to come to him. Is he not to be praised? He extends this power to us day by day. When you're overwhelmed by life, remember who your God is and what he has done. We need to get our eyes off of ourselves and other people and get our eyes on the great God, who your God is and what he has done. And remember that he says that he is able. Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. The greatness of God, brothers and sisters, is working in us according to the power that works in us. When dwelt by deity, the Holy Spirit dwells inside us. Never forget that God has not changed. He is still the same one spoken of in Exodus. He's still that same God spoken of in Exodus 3, verse 14. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. The great God, the I am. I always was, I always will be. When you trust him, his power becomes your power. Of course, it's in Christ. The great God, the powerful God. Also, not only do we see the greatness of his power in Scripture, we see the greatness of his promises. We're told that God keepeth truth forever. Go back to our text. Psalm 146, who made heaven, verse 6 of Psalm 146, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever. So we looked at the greatness of his power in Psalm 19 and Isaiah 40. He's told us that we can come to him, that he's able to do abundantly, exceedingly abundantly, more than we even ask or think. We've seen that he is still the same I am, who I am, always was, always will be. We see the greatness of his power. We also see the greatness of his promises. He keepeth truth forever. I'm sure there's many shades of meaning in that phrase, but I think it has reference to the fact that God will stand by his word. In other words, what God has promised, God will bring it to pass. What God has promised, God will bring to pass. God's children need to never fear that a single one of his promises are going to be unfulfilled. We don't have to be fearful. God will do everything he has said he would. Every promise, from his putting food on your table and clothes on your back, that you find all throughout Matthew 6. Let's just look at a little bit of that for a moment. Matthew 6, verses 25 to 34. I'm not going to read the whole thing. No one can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, these are the words of Christ. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you eat, what you drink, nor about your body, what you put on. Is not life more than food and the body, more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? What are you worried about, brother, sister? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? Then the Lord goes on to talk about the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, really not much more called you. Oh, you of little faith, how often, brothers and sisters, cannot be said of us. Oh, you of little faith, the greatness of God's promises. God will fulfill every promise that he has made to his children. You see his greatness in creation. We see the greatness of his promises, that he's going to feed us, that he's going to clothe us, that he's going to take care of us. Not only will he take care of us now, but he will take care of us in the future. What does John 10, verse 28 tell us? Excuse me. 10, And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. That's the promise given by Jesus Christ. I give them eternal life, they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. You talk about the greatness of his promises. I give them eternal life. This was Christ after he was speaking about the sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. And I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. The greatness of God, the greatness of his promises. That's why the psalmist is talking about praising the Lord. He knew who his God was. And brothers and sisters, we need to know who our God is. He is the God that keeps his promises. He's keeping his promises. He says not only will he provide for you here and now, not only will he give you eternal life, Christ has also promised us in John 14, verses 1 to 3, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I am my Father's house. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Here's Jesus Christ speaking. He has gone to prepare a place for us. A great promise. A great promise. He has gone to go prepare a place for us. And he says, and I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What a promise. If the psalmist could praise the Lord in Psalm 146 for what God had did in his life, how much more should we praise the Lord when we see the greatness of these promises? He's going to prepare a home in heaven for us, and it will be perfectly and completely kept, that promise. That's what it means in our text. He keepeth truth forever. Our God does not lie. He will fulfill all of his promises, even as he made a promise in the beginning to send a Redeemer. Every promise that God has ever made, he will fulfill. The greatness of his promises. The psalmist understood the greatness of God, the greatness of his power, the greatness of his promises. And now the psalmist tells us of the grace of God in verses 7 through 9. Psalm 146, 7 through 9. Who executes justice for the oppressed? Who gives food to the hungry? The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and the widow. But the way of the wicked he turns upside down. You talk about the greatness of God. We see the greatness of God in his grace. The grace of God. We could stop right here. If we could stop right here and understand the great truth that he is worthy of all our praise, we could stop right here. But the psalmist continues to list the reasons that the redeemed have for praising the Lord. Just look at what he does for his people, and I think you will agree. Our God is worthy of our praise. We see the grace of God. If we stopped at this point, that would have been more enough. But God goes on. He does exceedingly abundantly above all. In verse 7, we see that he fights for the helpless, who executes justice for the oppressed. He helps those who cannot help themselves, just as he delivered Israel from the cruel bondage of their captives. He has delivered his redeemed people from the cruel bondage of sin and Satan. When we could not deliver ourselves, he steps in and by grace saves us. Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Brothers and sisters, shall we not praise him? For he brought us up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set our feet upon the rock, and established our steps. He has inclined his ear to us. He has heard our cry. Our God fights for the helpless. Not only fights for the helpless, he fights for the hungry. He feeds the hungry. Not merely our daily bread, but every need that we have, both physical and spiritual, is met by our wonderful Father. Verse 7. He executes justice for the oppressed. He gives food to the hungry. Our God feeds the hungry. Our God takes care of his creatures. Philippians 4, verse 19 tells us, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We are to praise the Lord for the greatness of his promises, for his grace, for the fact that he fights for the helpless, for the fact that he feeds the hungry, for the fact that he says that he shall supply all that you need according to his riches by Christ Jesus. We like to focus on those blessings which are physical in nature, but the greatness of God's blessings, the greatest of God's blessings, are spiritual. I can remember times when I needed a word for my soul, and that word would come. The Holy Spirit would bring up a scripture to my mind. Spiritual feeding of his people. He feeds the hungry. He fights for the helpless. And he also frees the hostage. He delivered Israel from her tormentors. And he has done the same for you and I. Grace says, I will come, I will save that man, I will save that woman, I will set them free. We see the greatness of God in John 8, verse 36. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Were we not all trapped by sin? And the Son set us free. You talk about praising the Lord for His greatness, the greatness of His power, the greatness of His grace. The fact that me and you were bound by our sin. Verse 34, Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. Each and every human being has sinned, therefore making him a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." That should cause us to praise the Lord. He is worthy of our praise, fighting for the helpless, feeding the hungry, freeing the prisoner, the hostage. He delivered us from the greatest danger of all. He delivered us from our lost, hell-bound condition. He tells us in Luke 4, verse 18, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to send me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Why are we to praise the Lord? For He's worthy. Look at His greatness. Look how He has freed the poor, the gospel, healing the brokenhearted, proclaiming liberty, recovery of sight, setting at liberty those that were oppressed, those that was bound. The psalmist, over and over throughout the Psalms, tells us, brothers and sisters, that we are to praise the Lord. Back to our text, Psalm 146, verse 8. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. This is, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, all my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. The psalmist is telling us over and over why we are to praise the Lord. The scriptures tell us over and over why we are to praise the Lord. We see the greatness of His promises. We see the greatness of His grace towards us. Verse 8, the Lord opens the eyes of the blind. He does that out of grace and mercy. He need not do that. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. He need not do that. The Lord loves the righteous. He need not do that. Watches over the strangers, relieves the fatherless and the widow. Brothers and sisters, we have to remember that God was under no obligation to do any of that. Why should we praise the Lord? For the greatness of His grace towards us. Here again, we see another reason to pray, the opening of blinded eyes. Opening of blinded eyes. Matter of fact, He's prophesying of one of the calling cards of the Messiah when He came. We just saw it in Luke 4. I read you those verses. All the things that are mentioned here, Christ did. Opening, setting the prisoner free, opening the eyes of the blind, raising up those that are bowed down. He raised the dead. You can't get any more bowed down than being dead. This was the calling card of the Messiah throughout His ministry. Jesus did that. He opened blind eyes on many occasions. I would remind you that there's even a greater darkness than physical darkness. That poor soul that's trapped in sin is blind to the things of God. He's held prisoner in His darkness by Satan. I was there once. If you're a child of God, listen today, you were there. But Jesus came to where I was and where you were. And He healed our blindness and restored our spiritual sight and brought us into His glorious light. He opens the eyes of the blind. He lifts up the broken. The idea in the psalm here is that God lifts the burden from the backs of the weary ones. Oh, praise the Lord. How many times has he lifted our burdens and given us rest? How many times have we been privileged? Have we been privileged to roll our burden over on him just because he cares for us? He tells us, cast all of our cares upon him. But then there was that day when the burden of my sin was so heavy that I felt I could not go another step. And I came to him by faith and rolled the burden of my sin onto Christ, and he lifted me by his mighty power. Oh, is he not worthy to be praised? To be praised. God has a special place in his heart for those who have a right relationship with him. We're his children now. We're adopted into his family. He tells us that nothing can ever sever us from that bond of love that he has for us. Romans 8, 38, 39 is such a great passage about the greatness of our God and his love towards us. Romans 8, 38, 39, the greatness of his love. You want to know why? To praise the Lord. Because of the greatness of his love. For I'm persuaded, Romans 8, 38, 39. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, that includes yourself, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The greatness of his love towards us. He loves us when we are unlovable. He loves us when, to tell you the truth, we should be hated by God. He loves us in spite of our foolishness and our failures. He loves us unconditionally. That's what kind of love that he has for us. Unconditional love. Agape love. He loves us unconditionally, completely, and eternally. Is this, brothers and sisters, not enough to praise the Lord? Is his love towards us not enough for us to praise the Lord? He opens the eyes of the blind. He raises those who are bowed down. He watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and the widow. Then in verse 10 of Psalm 146, we read, the Lord shall reign forever, forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations, praise the Lord. Psalm 146 starts off, praise the Lord. It ends with praise the Lord. Psalm 147 starts, praise the Lord. Psalm 148, praise the Lord. Psalm 149, praise the Lord. And Psalm 150, praise the Lord. And Psalm 150 ends with praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He will forever be God. He will forever reign. He will forever be worthy of our praise. His promises will forever stand. His people will be preserved forever. And as the endless expanse of eternity unfolds before our eyes, we will forever lift our voices in praise to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We will forever proclaim of his greatness and his goodness and his love and his mercy. The Lord shall reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. brothers and sisters, I hope through these studies you have seen and understand the reason why that we should praise the Lord. We have a great God who loves us, who lifts us, who opens our eyes, who feeds us both spiritually and physically. He fights for the helpless. We've looked at the greatness of his promises, the greatness of his power, and that he had mercy upon us. He shed his grace upon us. Did you want to know why we should praise the Lord? Hopefully we looked at some reasons why we ought to praise the Lord. And my friend, if you're listening today and you've never come to Jesus Christ, you need to come to Christ today. You need to come to Christ today and begin to praise him, for he is worthy. It's time to throw down your weapons. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has sent out a pardon for all of those that would receive it. Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Scripture says that the carnal mind is enmity towards God. You're probably listening to this stuff today and say, I don't believe none of that. I'd simply ask the question, then why are you even listening? Why would you even waste your time a half hour listening to this? Or could it be that God is drawing you to his son? God is drawing you to his son for your need to repent and believe. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And all that come to him, he will in no wise cast out. If you come to him and repent and believe, he will save your soul. He will fulfill those promises that you heard today. I want to encourage you, my friend, to come to Christ for salvation. And child of God, I will just encourage you today. We have a great God that has shown great grace to great sinners. And now we are adopted into his family.